Hello, welcome to another episode of Dev Radio. I'm David Giard, and my guests today are Ian Easton and Charles Wright of Atta Data. Am I saying that right, guys?
Yes.
You got it right.
Attaboy. Charles, what's your role with this company?
I'm the CEO, CTO, and founder, and I'm essentially responsible for, you know, all the day-to-day stuff, all the development, roadmap. And that's kind of what my role is right now. It's a startup company, so we wear a lot of hats, and those are just two of them right off the bat.
What's your hat, Ian?
I got a lot of hats, too. So sales, marketing, business development, alliance manager, sometimes part-time lawyer, and definitely not HR, though.
Not HR, okay. All right, no HR questions today.
Right.
What does Atta Data do?
Well, we're a software ISV. We're essentially, we design technology that solves problems for compute mobility at scale. So our core go-to-market is with the enterprise customers. Our technology was designed to allow clients to port and essentially mobilize their compute to any platform or infrastructure. So if you think of hybridity and what that story sounds like today, we're actually the kind of the piece of the puzzle in the middle that allows you to kind of connect and have the ability to move and scale your compute in any direction. And that's where Atta Data stands for, any to any. And that's kind of what our go-to-market is right now. Ian probably could expand on it since that's kind of the hat you kind of wear.
I think you nailed it right from the CEO.
There you go.
So you talk about this migration. Are we talking about migrations of data or of applications or of something else or all the above?
That's a good question. So what we look at, when we look at software-defined networking, which you kind of heard as a buzzword in our industry, is what we do is we look at the application stack. So we're looking at application, middleware, database as a complete workload. And so what we do is we analyze this workload dependency, right? So we build this beautiful map of dependencies and how the application is cascading in the environment. Once you're able to see it, we put it in a group. We essentially defined this entire application, and then our technology interfaces with it and migrates the entire compute to whatever destination you choose.
Okay, so you've got a front-end application that's calling some middleware business logic that's calling some database. You would migrate all three pieces of that.
Correct. At the same time, at scale, and without any downtime to the client infrastructure. Completely.
Okay.
Yeah. It's live and online. It's the entire app stack along with the database. Just want to make sure.
That's a huge challenge then. So people are making requests to this application as it's happening. And in fact, during the migration, there are like transactions that are halfway complete, right?
Right, absolutely. So what we've done is during that process, which makes the technology so advanced, is that we actually keep those changes in sync as the migration is happening, and we continually sync it. So a lot of our customers will migrate or begin the process of moving it, say, Monday and cut it over on a Friday with all the changes happening in real time, and then essentially cut over within minutes as opposed to a long outage that would have occurred on, you know, using some legacy technology.
Where are you migrating from and to? Is this from on-premises to the cloud, or is this like from one data center to another, or what?
Well, the great thing is, when we talk about a hybridity story, is a lot of our partners are doing all of the above. They're going to cloud. They're going to off-prem. They're going from physical. They're still virtualizing environments. So what we've been able to do is sit in the middle and address all those use cases. So we're putting stuff in Azure. We're putting stuff on-prem, Hyper-V. We're doing, any other public clouds you may have heard of. We have all of the connectivity, all the orchestration there, and those are the type of use cases you're seeing all over the map.
Hmm. Tell me about the technology involved in your product.
Well, you know what we're talking about here today is an excellent example, right? So our entire product suite is so solidly based on Microsoft. So Microsoft BizSpark really has been the backbone of our technology-wise. We're running on .NET, we're running IIS, we're running Microsoft SQL Server. So our entire product suite is built on Microsoft technologies. Now, we do have some open source, running some Python, running some Java, but for the most part, I'd say 90, 90% of our platform is Microsoft.
And it's essentially, it's a Windows application, front end with a SQL database back end. Correct.
Okay, so your clients will install this on their local environment to do the analysis and then do the migration.
Yes, that's our deployment is on-prem predominantly. We can deploy anywhere as long as we have visibility. So some of our clients are, you know, the non-enterprise middle tier customers, they use it almost as a SaaS solution and use our public deployment. But most of our enterprise customers like the security of having the deployment on-prem. So we would deploy it inside the infrastructure. It could live in a cloud. It could live on-prem as long as they have visibility to the client's infrastructure. That's how we deploy, but it is essentially, as Ian mentioned, a Microsoft installer and it's installed on.
But it's a pure software solution, so it really can live anywhere. So some clients deploy on the target in Azure, for example, or they might deploy behind the firewall, as Charles indicated, or a hosted solution or a SaaS solution. So we have a lot of flexibility depending on client needs on where the application is going to live.
Yep.
A lot of times people, when they migrate from on-premise to the cloud, they want to take advantage of some of the things that the cloud is offering, like move from infrastructure as a service to platform as a service. Does your product address that at all? Or is it more of a lift and shift?
It's a lift and shift. So we don't do PaaS conversions. Right now, there's a lot of complexities involved with taking an on-prem installation and doing PaaS conversion, because what we found out is a lot of PaaS, it's really doesn't have the flexibility as a full-blown installation. So if an enterprise client is exercising a SQL server in its entirety, multi-table, database schema, that schema might not transport the class as easily. But in our case, since we don't deal with that, we will focus more on the lift and shift. We don't worry too much about that conversion, but it's a lot of complexity involved in just the transformation. Yeah.
It's complex because it's different for every organization. I could see a customer using your product, getting everything in the cloud, getting it working, and then start to re-architect it, take advantage of some of the microservices or some of the scalability or things like that that PaaS offers.
You hit it on the head with that one. So with the enterprise clients that we're focused on, they're more interested in getting from point A to point B rapidly and refactoring or re-architecting or optimizing on whatever benefits, a scalable environment might give them.
Okay. You mentioned BizSpark. Are you guys still in the BizSpark program?
Absolutely. So BizSpark,
how's that working?
We love it. It's just obviously been a cost saver for us. I mean, we utilize a significant amount of Microsoft products in our development, and our go-to-market. So it's just been really, the program itself is saving thousands of dollars. I mean, it's just significant. I can't really say enough about it, to be honest.
Have you worked with anybody from Microsoft?
No, not really. I mean, honestly, the program has been kind of self-service for us.
Okay.
So, we joined in 2010 and have been using
2010?
It's been a long time.
It wasn't 2012?
No, this was a company started, but I started building this product before that.
Okay. Got it.
Learn something every day.
Learn something new every day.
So we actually, in the middle of my night, I joined this part. So before
you did that for free for a couple of years before you actually
joined. I did. So,
I like the passion that shows.
Yeah, well, the thing is that people tend to think that these products or companies start up overnight and it just turns up and you have a customer the first day. So it took about 2 years, maybe 18 months of development before I had a functional product that we could bring to market. But we did it, so we're here today to talk about it.
How's business so far?
It's been wonderful. I mean, honestly, every day it's being a smaller company. I talk to Ian about this all the time. I had a friend of mine ask me how my day was on Monday. I said, it's great, it's Monday. Ask me on Wednesday. Because our week is like a roller coaster, right?
Every day is a new challenge.
It starts off Monday. By Wednesday, me and Ian are depressed. By Friday, everything's come around, all the products are green, and we're sitting there drinking, having a good time on Friday. So that's just our week, every week. So that's how business is.
So Ian, you're marketing this to the world. Who are your customers?
Our customers are large global integrators, service providers, and what we call OEM providers like Microsoft. So anyone that is concerned with porting compute between environments would be a potential client. As we had said earlier, we're focused really on the enterprise space.
Did I hear you say that Microsoft is one of your customers?
I said potentially.
Oh, okay. All right.
There's a big use case to move people to Hyper-V and Azure and Azure Stack and all these environments. So that was my sales pitch to Microsoft.
Well, maybe they'll watch this. Maybe somebody with a checkbook will watch this online.
Yeah,
we have
some other big company partners. I don't know if you looked at our partner page and who we're currently aligned with, but we have some pretty large end customers, and we are hoping Microsoft will look at who we're doing business with today and say, you know, this might be a good fit for them as well.
Where should they look if they're interested in your product?
Well, we have our partner page, datadata.com, our partner list. And I mean, can I say some of the partners today? So
I'm okay with it if you are.
I mean, we're currently a lead tier partner with Google. We're currently working with them. We made the Amazon migration competency this year, which is significant. Only three companies globally. And you're talking a tiny startup out of Atlanta. You know, and there we are having, you know, a conversation with Amazon, and they're obviously a significant player in the cloud space. So, and VMware, VerdiStream, I mean, we have some significant partnerships, and we're dealing with significant enterprises. I mean, our end customer list is pretty extensive. So, you know, we'd love to sit down and talk to Microsoft about, you know, how we can enable, you know, bring those capabilities to their client base.
And we have actually migrated some enterprise customers to Azure. So we have some real referenceable wins and use cases.
Yes. And we've got to source those, obviously, just through our network. So.
All right. We actually do have a team. It's a kind of a sister team of mine that deals specifically with startups. And I'll put you in touch with them when this is over.
Absolutely. We love that.
Excellent. And you know what I just learned today is that Atadata is a palindrome.
That's right.
Tell me about the name, Atadata.
Like this. We have data, we have compute going both ways.
Oh, it's two-way. And what is that name? What is Atadata? Where does the name come from?
So Atadata, ATA stands, and the Atadata stands for any to any. So that's always been our mantra. So everyone talks about, you know, moving to this cloud, moving to this hypervisor, moving to this infrastructure. We literally have the most extensive scalable, you know, technology that can really go to all of these platforms, right? So if you're looking at your compute on-prem and you're trying to decide what cloud to go to, we can tell you, or if you want to go to hypervisor. We also have cloud calculations built into our technology. So our clients can analyze their workload compute on-prem, and we can price it on how it would exist and how much cost the compute would be in any number of clouds. So that's a really big use case for customers who are looking at adoption, right? Where are we going? How much is it going to cost? We can actually do all those calculations and analysis for them with our technology prior to moving it. So it's an extremely comprehensive enterprise product.
And we can do that on an application basis as well. We can show the client exactly the compute infrastructure that their application is touching and what that infrastructure would cost in a future state.
Hmm. Yep. Interesting. Is there anything we haven't talked about that you'd like to talk about?
That's an open-ended.
That is really I think let's talk about our biggest hurdle right now. Our biggest hurdle.
What is that?
It's notoriety. It's no one knows. I mean, honestly, no one knows who we are. So a lot of our business we get through our network. Ian has connections in his prior infrastructure days. I have connections in my transformation days, and we're slowly, you know, basically hiking uphill with a lot of our integrators, and it's an extremely long process. So biggest hurdle is name recognition. Second is getting the adoption from the integrators. And once those two things kind of align, we feel like, you know, and we've done this. We've been in rooms with legacy technology players. Our technology is, I think, you know, a lot to do with the way we go to market is the most advanced for what we do. No one knows it. And until we get in a room with people and we show them, that's the only way we win. So we don't have, as pretty as this guy is, he's not gonna win any beauty contests. He's not gonna smooch all the executives. So we have to fight the
technology. That's just your opinion.
Oh, isn't he handsome?
Yeah, speak for yourself.
He's so handsome. But We're not going to win the, you know, he's not a booth babe. So we have to go out here and win the technology battle every day. And that's kind of what we fight for. So we just want to get as many of his at-bats that we can. He is working on that. That's what he does. And then we get in there, we win the technology battle. And that's how we win business. But it's a long hike. It's a, you know, when you're a startup, you're self-funded. I think one of the questions we talked about, you know, and prior to this interview is, are we looking for funding? No, you know, we're self-funded. What the gentlemen in the room are contributing to this cause and to make sure we continue to kind of fight the battles that we are fighting. But that's our biggest problem. Biggest problem is name recognition and adoption, and that just takes time. And that's what we need. All we need is a little runway, and we continue to fight the battle Monday through Friday and sometimes Saturday and Sunday.
Okay. Well, what is it that distinguishes your service from anything else out there?
I think our biggest advantage, first of all, is that we're agentless technology. That's a huge, massive thing to think about. When you think about compute portability, all the compute technology companies that we deal with have some sort of component that we have eliminated. One is they do image library, they store the images and then load them up into the cloud. They have agents, you know, crawling the environment, which are very intrusive, hard to pass security tests. We've eliminated those obstacles, right? So we have no agents, no appliance, direct source to target migration capability, and it can scale, right? Because we don't have any appliances. Instead of just saying I can only do 10 migrations at a time because I have storage requirements, we can do hundreds of atom at a time because we don't, it's all source to target mapping directly. So it's just, we looked at what the enterprise had to offer and we just said, we're going to make something 10 times better than what's out there. That's what we've been trying to do.
Now, piggyback on that, a couple more features is we have more integrations with hypervisors, private cloud and public cloud than any other migration software. And then really importantly, we support more operating systems. There's many that support Windows Server, but most do not support Linux very broadly. And I know Azure is doing a big push to get more Linux onboarded. So we support, I think, 10 distributions of Linux, which is a big differentiator, especially in the cloud, because a lot of folks run Linux in the cloud.
Absolutely. 30%, I think, is the number right now of Azure virtual machines that are running Linux. It's a very large number. All right, Ian, Charles, thank you so much for joining us. The website is atadata.com. I'm David Giard, and thank you for watching Dev Radio.
Thanks, Dave.